Coming today on Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast.
But where I found somebody who was able to, you know, work with me, and we recreated the scenes of my abuse, but having a different outcome. And in doing that, I found all that power that I had given away. I found the parts of me that I had cut off. And in finding that, I also found an inner peace that I had no idea was missing.
Welcome to Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast with Rebecca Zung and Susan Guthrie.
This is the place to hear other people's stories, to learn from the top experts in every related field, and to also have some fun, laugh, and hang with two girlfriends who are also top family law litigators.
And now we invite you to listen to today's show.
It's going to inspire you to transform and break free. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie.
Today we are super lucky to have an amazing guest for you. She has a very inspiring personal story and now empowers others to heal themselves through what she learned and how she was able to do it. So I'm going to just read her bio. Becoming a badass in life and business requires you to stand in your power and be super comfy with being unique. Dana Farrant knows all about standing out and being unique. Her personal brand of inner dominatrix pushes people out of their comfort zone, challenges their preconceived notions, and has them stepping into a fierce determination to rock their bold, sexy, fun-filled lives.
Dana is a number one best-selling author of Beyond Fear and a two-time award-winning speaker. Her commitment to living life in command of her feminine power and helping others connect with their inner dominatrix has made her a sought-after speaker and coach, as well as gained her recognition and respect, and we're very lucky to have her with us today. Welcome, Dana.
Oh, thank you, ladies. It is an honor to be with both of you. I'm really delighted. I love what you guys are doing. It's so important.
Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for being here. So Dana, if you could, just, we heard about your bio and we heard about the really cool stuff that you're doing. I would love for you to share how you came to this idea of the inner dominatrix. What was it in your background that brought you on that journey?
Oh, thanks, Rebecca. You know, it's a most unusual journey, and I know for most people, when they first hear this idea of the inner dominatrix and how it, you know, kink could actually be healing, they're left kind of scratching their head. So if I can just take you on this little journey and give you the snippets of how I ended up there. And basically, I grew up in a cult. And in that experience, I also experienced sexual trauma. And so when I finally left the religion, I spent a lot of years trying to untangle not only the religious belief, the cult indoctrination, but also the sexual trauma that was going on in my body. And I got to a point where I was functioning, I was doing really good. You know, I had a partner, I had a house, I had a cat, I had, you know, business going on. And from the outside, it looked like I had it together. But the reality is that I was still, you know, doing these behaviors that really didn't fit. I was still overeating. I was still feeling very nervous around people, anxious all the time. And so I knew that just it wasn't totally right. I just didn't feel like it was in my body. And at the same time, I'm getting these kind of inclinations where I'm like, I have these fantasies that I want to be tied up and, you know, somebody to have sex with me while I'm tied up. And I'm thinking, this is really crazy. Like, is this some sort of mental disorder that, you know, because of my background, I'm having these fantasies? And luckily I found somebody who was so open. She became a client of mine and she disclosed to me that she was involved in kink. And of course, at that time I was doing massage therapy. And so she told me this because, you know, I'm going to see marks and I'm going to see bruises and we want to have open discussion about what's going on. But she had no idea the gift that was going to be for me because I was able to ask her about kink. I was able to find out what was the psychology behind it and why did people want it. And and they have her, she kind of like reassured me that my desires were not some strange, crazy thing, but that there was something in me, just, it's just a longing, just a desire. And so when I left the relationship that I was in at that time, because that was not a great fit for me, which is a whole nother story. But when I finally left there and I got involved in the kink world and went to some of the play parties, I ended up finding some really incredible people to play with. And we call it play and scenes because it's not about sex. And that's one of the misnomers. People think that that's what it is. But where I found somebody who was able to, you know, work with me, and we recreated the scenes of my abuse, but having a different outcome. And in doing that, I found all that power that I had given away. I found parts of me that I had cut off. And in finding that, I also found an inner peace that I had no idea was missing. You know, I figured out that I had been depressed for 20 years because for the first time, I was able to look up at gray skies and drizzling rain and go, you know what? That's kind of pretty. And realizing that I'd never had that thought before, and being able to be in a room and finally able to just kind of relax and sink into this. So it was hugely transformative. And of course, my background as a healer, I was inspired. I just was like, I've got to take other people on this journey. And so I did. I learned how to become a dominatrix. I learned all of the skills and, you know, took a number of people through that journey. And it was such a rewarding time, but it was only meant to be for, you know, 6 years. And then life happened and I was pushed out of that community. But, you know, the universe always lands something at the right time. So I was pushed out because I needed to focus on my business. I know this is a really long story, but we have to get all the pieces in place here. Sure. So
I know that it's going to be really inspiring when our listeners hear this. So thank you for sharing this. It's a very personal story, but it's very, very inspirational. So I don't think it's too long at all. I think it's important for people to hear.
Yeah. So the next part of this journey was that my business, so I had a $1 million business, I had staff, people overseas, things are great. We built it totally on word of mouth. I didn't do any outside sales. It was completely magnetic attracting people in, but at the same time, there were things that weren't going right. So we had a lot coming in, but we also had a lot going out because I wasn't managing it well. I wasn't bringing that energy of who I was personally. I wasn't bringing that power into my business. And so we hit a bankruptcy and I had to go through a restructuring. I had to lay everybody off and I had to figure out what I was doing. And it was in that journey, in realizing that what was missing, realizing where I went wrong, and of course, not making myself wrong about it. That journey allowed me to see that, like, for so many business women, we don't stand in our power. We don't negotiate from a place of, you know, power, feeling that we have the right to claim our voice, and we don't allow ourselves to be magnetic in sales. And so I was like all lit up. I'm like, I have to bring this piece, this energy of the dominatrix for women in business specifically, so that they can stand in their power and do better in their business. Because every time I ramp up that energy and I bring that in, business is easy. It flows. And it's not to say that it's not efforted, but it flows. And sales go up. And like, I have way more fun. So that's been my mission and my journey, is to really like inspire, not just inspire, I want to teach women and show them that this power is there, how to access it and let it loose in their business. That's my journey.
So that, I mean, that's absolutely fascinating. And I think what's interesting is how you've taken a negative experience that some might perceive as a hard journey, and were able to turn it into such a positive tool in your life. And I think it's interesting because you mentioned when you were just telling your story that the inner dominatrix really isn't about sex. But I think when people hear inner dominatrix, especially in the world of shades of gray everything that's going on, they go there immediately. But when you're talking about having your power and all that, is that what you're talking about with the inner dominatrix?
Yeah, it's about the energy. So for me, the whole experience of, being in the kink and taking people through scenes was always about transformation. So in a scene, what we're doing is we'll craft out and negotiate ahead of time and say, okay, what do you want to try? You not want to try? Where do you want to go? What's kind of outcome? What's okay? What's not okay? That's all negotiated well ahead of time. And then we enter into the dungeon, let's call it. And at that point, the person, the client, the submissive, pretends to relinquish all of their power to the dominatrix. And the dominatrix pretends to have all of the power and telling them what to do and controlling them. But always underneath it is that the dominatrix is doing these things for their best interest, moving them in a direction so that they can actually get what it is that they want out of the scene. And the submissive always has the ultimate power because they have the ability to call full stop at any time. So they always have that ultimate power. And that's the dynamic that I want people to really get. And it's the same dynamic that I see with people and women in particular, because that's most of my audience. Women in particular think that they don't have the power. And so they do these things to compromise and, give it over to somebody else. But when they start to realize that they've always had the power there, they change in that moment and they show up differently. So the scene allows the person to surrender and experience this deeply meditative state that shifts a whole lot of stuff, like way more than therapy ever could. And it opens their world. It opens things up. So not everybody wants to go to the dungeon, obviously, but now I work more with energy tools to create that same kind of journey, that same kind of exploration where they discover that they're way more powerful than they ever thought they were. So exciting.
So when you work with people in business, for example, do you still work with them on their issues around anxiety and fear? I mean, they would have to be kind of intertwined, right?
Yeah, it's very intertwined. I mean, even if we're doing straight up business skills, it's never just straight up business skills because you have to come to the table with the right mindset, with the willingness to take the action, which pulls on, what are your beliefs? Where do you feel that you are worthy of taking that action? Can you ask for that big ask? Can you do those things? And so it's never just one thing. It's all intertwined. And I love looking at all of it. I have mad skills in business but for the practical side, but I love the mental emotional piece.
So it sounds like almost what you're describing is, you described when you were going into the dungeon, there would first be a discussion about actually what was going to happen there, what the submissive wanted out of the experience, and then the dominatrix led them down the path to get what they wanted. And you're sort of doing the same thing outside of the dungeon, right? With your business clients or with your life coaching.
Absolutely.
You're finding out where they want to go and then helping them get there.
Yeah, that is exactly it. And it's interesting when people make that correlation. It's like the dominatrix is a coach. She's helping you create transformation. So now I'm doing the same thing, but outside of the dungeon.
And you do that. You mentioned you have energy tools that you work with. Can you give some examples of that? I don't think I'm accustomed or acquainted with that.
Awesome. Yay, a newbie.
Yes.
Okay, so one of my base tools that I love introducing people to is a very simple tool to help you to unlock from taking on other people's stuff. And, when you walk in a room, and I mean, you girls are going to be really familiar with, the tension of when you have people that are fighting and angry, you walk in that room and it's palpable, right?
Absolutely.
You can taste it in the air. Oh my goodness. Yeah. So
you can cut it.
You can cut it. You cut it with a knife. Yeah, there's a reason why they say that. You can cut it with a knife. So when you're in that situation, it's very easy to start to let that absorb into your body. And then as it absorbs into your body, then you start to feel heavy, you start to feel drained of energy, and you know, you just like, oh, it's like at the end of the day, you're like, oh, I'm so tired, right? So learning to not be affected by other people's energies, other people's emotional states, is critical in life and business. So what we're going to do, I want you to imagine there's a choice of being the wall or being the room. And if we imagine other people's stuff is represented as post-it notes, would you rather be the wall or the wind?
Well, let me think. The wall is the solid. It sticks to it. Their ideas are stuck there. But the wind, you can take other people's ideas and move them around to your ability. So I'd go with being the wind.
Good choice. Yeah. So that's what I get people to imagine is letting your energy field expand out. Now, energy follows intention. It is super, super easy to work with. If you just imagine that your energy field is able to expand out, it will. So what I do is I have people expand their energy field out in all directions. So we have, you know, big 360 degrees around us, and we just keep going out. And you just kind of like, what would it feel like to be as big as the room? What would it feel like to be as big as the state or country? What would it feel like to be as big as the world? And then we just keep going out. Big as the solar system, big as the galaxy, big as the universe. I'm going to keep going way out and ideally go all the way out to like infinite space. And when you are really expanded out, everybody else's stuff, all of their emotions, all of their energy just goes floating on past and it doesn't get stuck in you and doesn't weigh you down. So the key to it is that you want to link that activity to something you do on a regular basis. So I love suggesting for women, every time you go to the bathroom, because I don't know about you, but most women I know go to the bathroom a lot. So every time you go pee, you're going to...
We all go.
And then if you're over 40, you're going even more. It's awesome. Yeah. So every time you know, accidentally pee yourself or you go to the bathroom, and what that'll help do is that'll just start to the process of locking in what it feels like to stay expanded out more and more of the time and gradually, and it can take anywhere from 6 to 18 months to really lock in the habit, but it's worth it. And it takes like a nanosecond, just expand out again. Oh, right, expand out. You'll stop taking on other people's stuff in the first place, and then there's less to clear. So it's a good preventative tool.
Coming up, more from Susan, Rebecca, and Dana on From Religious Cult to Kick-Ass Dominatrix, how Dana Ferrant used dominatrix power to heal herself and now teaches others to become badasses in life and in business.
But when you're going through divorce, there's all of this potential loss, which triggers our core, you know, need to feel safe, our need to feel secure, and our unwillingness to lose anything. But that, unfortunately, puts us in a position of feeling like a victim. And the moment we feel like we're victimized, we lose all power.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can hear Rebecca and Susan discuss more topics on divorce in depth, including their interview with Tracy Malone, creator of Narcissist Abuse Support in Escaping Hell, How to Get Out of and Survive a Relationship with a Narcissist.
And yet, when I learned about it, because I had been in a marriage, and my divorce was just like the things that kept getting thrown at me, the lies, and now I know them as gaslighting. The things that were coming at me, I didn't understand them at all.
And now we return to today's show.
I like that. Is there an exercise then that would follow that as far as like feeling more powerful? I know for me, I do a lot of speaking on negotiation. And a lot of what I hear from people is that, you know, they're afraid to bring up something. They're afraid to ask for a raise. They're afraid to ask for a, maybe it's, you know, a promotion, or maybe it's just in life in general, but especially in divorce, you know, you definitely see people who don't necessarily want to ask for things. They're afraid to look bad. They're afraid to look greedy, that sort of thing. So, you know, I love what you're saying about expanding the energy. I'm just wondering, what is the next step?
Yeah, great question. And the reality is, the next step is kind of a bigger piece. So that one's a really simple tool. And what I would say, maybe an intermediate step. So first of all, getting clear of those kinds of negative thought patterns, if we want to call them that, or self-judgments where I'm not allowed to ask for this, it's not okay to rock the boat, I am not safe if I ask for what I want. We have these kinds of programs that get running in the background, and clearing those out is a process. And that's absolutely, like, that's kind of the core of what I do with people, is finding out what that base core belief is and changing it. Now, in the meantime, what I would suggest for people to, along with the expand out, is when you have a feeling or a judgment or something that comes up where you're like, oh, I'm not sure I should do this, and you start feeling kind of anxious, to just check in and kind of say, what if this wasn't mine? What if this feeling, this belief, this thought wasn't actually mine? And in doing that and expanding out allows you to let go of a lot of the pieces that most people are stuck with, like getting stuck in. And it'll really shift a lot of things. And then I would say, you know, take a look at some of the different processes. Like, I have a goodie on my website that's a freebie. It's a totally free program that anybody who's been through trauma can jump in that and get the base tools for learning how to clear some of this stuff out of your system.
What is your website?
DanaFerrant.com.
Okay, and that's DanaPharrant.
Correct. Yeah. So that would be a really great place to start and to take yourself through the process. It's longer than we maybe want to tackle on this podcast of how to actually do that process, but to be, first of all, be aware of maybe how much of it is not even yours, because we have the ability to pick up from other people, right? Just like I said, when you walk in a room and you've got all these people who are angry and you can feel it, you can like feel it in your body. But in that situation, you know that it's not yours because you've walked in, right? You have that awareness. Well, sometimes we're picking up from a little further away and we don't have that cognitive connection of, oh, I've just walked by somebody who's really stuck with anxiety and fear, and now I feel fear and anxiety, and you're not necessarily making that connection. So when you're feeling that fear and anxiety, to ask the question, what if this wasn't mine? And notice, does it start to open up? And if it does, not yours. Unplug.
Right. So actually, that it's to a certain degree about awareness for the clients, becoming aware. Because I think the thing that, and Rebecca, maybe you've noticed this, but our clients going through divorce almost go on autopilot in that land of fear and anxiety. And it seems to them, I think, very much that everything is just happening to them. They react out of that fear and anxiety. And a lot of what I hear you saying is, you know, with the expansion and being aware of the energy of where that anxiety and fear are coming from, if they can develop their awareness, that can be very helpful to them. And that's where some of the tools that you're giving them take them.
Absolutely, Susan. Bang on. It's being willing to drop out of that victim state, which gets triggered when you're going through abuse or abuse. Sometimes they are abuse, but when you're going through divorce, there's all of this potential loss, which triggers our core, you know, need to feel safe, our need to feel secure, and our unwillingness to lose anything. But that, unfortunately, puts us in a position of feeling like a victim. And the moment we feel like we're victimized, we lose all power. So we need to drop back in to the space, and this is kind of a little more high level, is the being willing to lose everything in order to regain the freedom within.
So I'm just, this is kind of a complicated question, but going back to, you know, your background and just thinking about our listeners and a lot of the people that we've worked with in divorce, would you say that there's kind of like a pattern that people end up getting into where they're choosing somebody who's maybe not right for them as their life partner because there are things that maybe they're accustomed to, like being a victim or like being abused in some way, where obviously they don't like it, but it's comfortable. You had mentioned that you were in a relationship that ended up to be not the right one for you. How much of that comfort zone of being abused or whatever it was for you had you choose the wrong person for you, and recognizing that so that you can overcome some of that loss in a divorce or a breakup.
Yeah, so very definitely. I think you're bang on the mark with that. It's for me, I can look back and I can see that because I hadn't deeply healed the sexual trauma, I did not feel worthy. I did not feel like I could, you know, wait for a great partner. And so I settled for who chose me instead of me choosing somebody. And all of my friends were like, what are you doing? Because he's like, he's not like, you can do way better. And I'm like, oh no, he's okay. It's great. And then there's also the component of that, you know, I grew up with a narcissist and then got involved with a narcissist. So there's that overlay as well, that sometimes we pick that same person to work out those unresolved issues. But I think a lot of it is just that it's like, oh, I'm familiar with this. I don't love the term comfort zone. I actually have a whole thing on there is no flipping comfort zone. That's whether I could swear or not. So,
you can have at it.
Yeah. There's no such thing as a
divorce podcast. Wearing is well in our wheelhouse.
Yeah. Yes. So I think there's a familiarity that goes along as opposed to a comfort zone, because I don't know about you, but anything I've wanted to change has never been comfortable. So I really say that it's more like a piss-soaked bed than a comfort zone, right? It's warm and squishy for about 30 seconds, and then it very quickly becomes just gross.
Stinky and uncomfortable,
right. But you have to eventually get out of bed and face the humiliation before you can get into the shower and get cleaned up. That's the reality. Some people refuse to get out of bed.
Well, and that's, you know, I think that's an interesting part of all of this, you know, with people going through divorce, is though although a lot of our clients or a lot of people that I've experienced going through divorce are very unhappy to be in that place of despair, fear, anger, they're not particularly incentivized to get out of it, or they don't know how to get out of it. Maybe it's not comfort zone. Maybe it's just they're still in that piss-soaked bed and they're not sure how to get out. But, you know, how can people reach out for help or find the help or even know in that dark place? What was there something for you that helped you? Was it that moment on with the massage client, or was it just a enough is enough type of moment?
I think, you know, definitely the massage client coming in sparked a piece for me. It lit up this niggle of, you know, I want to explore that more. I want to know what that is. I had no idea that the kink was in any way, shape, or form going to significantly heal my body, that it was going to be any kind of, you know, personal development. I thought it was just going to be some fun, but it turned out to be probably one of the most, you know, life-changing moments for me. And well, clearly I'm using it for my business. I think for a lot of people, there's like an inner niggle. Like, just if you quiet down for just a moment, there's something in there that says, this is not as good as it gets. There has to be something else. And
yeah, I always say, like, your soul knows. You
absolutely
know? So just to be clear on, you know, the work that you do, you're not actually doing sexual work with clients or anything. You're taking those principles that you learned and employing those to help people.
Yeah. So I've been studying consciousness and energy shifting tools, energy psychology for a number of years. And so I've taken what I've learned in the dungeon and how to step into that energy. And now I'm teaching people how to get connected with that energy and how to utilize it in their business in a very practical way. It's not about sex. I do talk about sexual energy, but that's nothing to do with sex. You're not having sex with your clients. You're not inviting them to, you know, like, it's not, that's not what the thing is. But
and you're not a sex therapist in any way.
No. I do have, I've always been the indirect sex therapist, and my clients, you know, they'll bring whatever because I'm so open and I don't have judgment. Like, that was one of the gifts of being a dominatrix, is that you have to get to the point where you don't have judgment, hopefully, you don't have judgment of your clients and what kink that they're into, because everybody's got a different kink. Like, seriously, there are some, like, I've heard a lot of different things. And yeah, so yeah, which would be a whole other podcast.
That might be a good one.
But to be able to get to the space where you go, oh, okay, that's what you're into. Am I willing to do that? Yes or no? And that's really what it comes down to. It's not you're wrong or you're bad because that's not something I do. It's just, cool, your kink doesn't align with my kink and it's not going to work. And I think that's where most people have to get to in their lives, is instead of seeing things as right and wrong, dropping into this space of, it's just what I currently prefer, and this is the way it works for me, not right or wrong. We change the dynamic and we change the judgment around it.
So we have a couple of, just a couple minutes. I just have a quick question. Because the 50 Shades of Grey thing was such a big deal. And of course, I don't think anybody can listen to this and not think of that. So I was just curious to know what your thoughts were. I don't know if you read those books or saw any of the movies, but if you have any thoughts around if that was helpful, hurtful, accurate, not accurate.
Cool. I have a lot of thoughts on that. So first of all, I didn't read the book. I couldn't get past the way it was written. That's a judgment. That's okay. So I did watch the first movie, and I would say the dungeon, the way it was set up, was definitely accurate. But I do know that they consulted with the dominatrix to, you know, to create that space. So that part of it is accurate. A lot of the storyline and how he invites her into this world is not accurate, but Hollywood never portrays any profession accurately. So they take the pieces that are like, woo, very, you know, stimulating and sensual and whatnot, and they play that up, but they don't show the other side. So they don't show the psychological progression that should have happened with Christian Grey. He should have come, in my mind, he should have come around to realizing that there's nothing wrong with his desires, and it's okay if, as long as you are working with a consenting partner, and the consenting partner is also excited about it. And so I think there were some things that were misrepresented, and not really, didn't really get into enough. Like, I would have loved to have seen a little bit more of the, you know, where the surrender piece comes in, and the deeply meditative space that people hit with kink that is just never portrayed in Hollywood. It's unfortunate.
As attorneys, we're well accustomed to attorneys and lawyers being portrayed in just the one way on the big screen or the little screen. So we can certainly...
You know that far better than most. that's not what that looks like.
Yeah, no, trials don't happen in one day and the guy never confesses on the stand.
Right. It doesn't happen. Yeah. So, but Hollywood has to tell a story, and the story of, you know, resolution and things being all fabulous at the end doesn't necessarily provide a cliffhanger. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. This was so fascinating. So
really was, Dana. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Absolutely. Thank you.
Did you want to share your free gift again with our listeners and your website?
So the website is danaferrant.com, which is DanaPharant. And there's lots of free goodies on the website right there. I think that's probably the best resource. Just jump over onto the website. The other thing I will say is that I am the only Dana Ferrant in the world. So if you Google my name, you will find me.
That's wonderful.
Thank you for joining us today on Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce Podcast. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. For a limited time, get your free copy of Rebecca's best-selling divorce book, Breaking Free, a step-by-step divorce guide to achieving emotional, physical, and spiritual freedom at www.breakingfreethebook.com.
And for your free copy of Susan's Top 10 Reasons to Mediate Your Divorce, visit www.divorceinabetterway.com.
Check back next Monday for our next edition of our powerful, inspirational, and educational podcast. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, please remember to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and let us know what you liked in a review.
And remember, you're just one step away from your new life.